Lycans, we're all here with you. All-star break, 97 games into the season, 47-50, 4.5 out of the wild card. It's not over, but it's getting tougher. According to Baseball Reference, 6.9% chance to make the playoffs.
Oh, nice.
So you're saying there's a chance.
All right.
But again, we'll see what happens in the second half. Good time to digress, rest, clear the slate. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Go spend time with your family. If you're going to the All-Star game, just relax and have fun. Let's see what we got. Bobby, Bubich,
Estevez,
Garcia.
Yep.
Am I missing one?
No, that's it. Before? Like, Q was never promoted to the All-Star staff, we heard, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, which I think is kind of shoddy by Aaron Boone. But, hey, that's just me saying that because, I mean, Mac Quattrero had a 30-game improvement from a year ago and you know, was in the postseason last year, won a playoff series. I do think he should probably be on the bench for the All-Star game. But I've not heard that Mac Quattrero was chosen as a coach for the All-Star game, which I believe is a very shoddy thing by Aaron Boone. You should have the playoff coaches involved in this thing, man.
Yeah, but Joe Torre will be there.
That's right.
Uh-huh. But according to MLB, they went on a huge, huge Twitter storm this weekend when they were just obviously at the break, and they have every team's all-time lineup, maybe not in the order of hitting, but like the actual like best Royals all-time lineup, but it's the field. And this all-time lineup is anchored and coached by Ned Yost,
mm-hmm.
all-time winningest manager. Makes sense, right?
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
We'll go in position order numbers. So Brett Saberhagen, the pitcher, I disagree.
Yeah, I think the starting pitcher with Brett Saberhagen, I think is debatable. Mm-hmm. I think you could obviously make a case for Zach Greinke to be in this one. I think you could make a case, you know, for Dennis Leonard to be in there. Kevin Apier, you could. But Brett Saberhagen, I mean, Cy Young Awards and, you know, Rookie of the Years and World Series and all that kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. would have been interesting to see if we got a full career out of Yo, where we kind of put him on that list. And whatnot, but I think there's some conversation to be had for starting pitching. But I probably would have put Greinke on that list before I put Saberhagen, and that could be recency bias. But I feel like Zach Greinke, you know, he's going to go into the Hall of Fame and wear a Royals cap in the Hall of Fame.
Right. Also a Cy Young winner in '09, one of the best pitching performances of a year I've ever seen in my entire life. Catcher, obvious, Sal.
Yeah, there's no debating on that one, right?
First base is Haas.
Yeah, you could put, you know, John Mabry in there. You could debate Mike Sweeney in there. But, you know, Eric Hosmer, Mad Dash Home, World Series champion, probably gets the kind of the nod on that one, right?
Yep. You move over to second base.
Mm-hmm.
They have Frank White.
Yeah, I'm going to recall that one. I'm going to put Ben Zobrist in there because
really?
The Royals win the World Series in 85 without Frank White. They don't win the World Series in 2015 without Ben Zobrist.
I'm going to put Omar Infante there.
I like that. That's a good one.
Because I can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No chance. No chance I'm keeping that guy at second base.
No, not a chance. I'm recalling that one like it's nobody's business. And yeah, Carlos Fabelis could be on that list for you if you wanted to.
I put Mark Grezalonic.
Grezalonic could be
on
there.
The Italian Stallion there.
The way that Jonathan India is playing second base right now, throw his name on there.
I'm shocked Mac's dad didn't make third base, but when there's a guy named George Brett that gets drafted in 1971 and goes on to do things he did, really no discussion.
No debate.
Yeah, more of a lock in there when you saw the all-time list. George at third or Sal at catcher?
George at third.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shortstop is Bobby.
Yep.
No argument there.
Yeah.
Your outfield gets a little fun.
Yeah, fun.
7-8-9 in that order. Left field, Alex Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Center field, Carlos Beltran.
Yeah, you can make a case for Willie Wilson to be in that spot. Beltran, to me, is still the smoothest athlete I've ever seen play the game. He was just, he would glide, man. That guy was awesome. So I'm not going to, you know, really argue that, but Lorenzo Cain could make that list as well. He was great.
And then you've got Willie Wilson out there as well.
Yeah, they moved him over to right field.
I would have Lo Cain in there, and I would have, gosh, I know it's like young of me to think that Willie Wilson should go out because, I mean, Willie Wilson walks so Lorenzo Cain can run in that center field. But, man, Beltran, so good.
So good. Alex Gordon is the best left fielder I've ever seen play the game.
Mm-hmm.
For all, not just the Royals. So he's on the list in left field. The center field one, I mean, we've had some good center fielders from Willie to Beltran to Damon to, you know, Lorenzo Cain, and then Dye was in right field. You could put him in right field. Like, are we doing the three best outfielders in Royals history, or are we doing it by position? Because it looks like you're doing three best.
And you're just not going to take Gordo out of left because of the goal that he shows.
Right.
Your DH was Hal McCray. Mm-hmm. This is my younger bias. That's where I'd put Sweeney in.
Okay.
I know Hal McCray is like a Royal stud, always been great, always been one of those guys, and he's a Royal legend.
Yeah, phenomenal DH.
But man, dude, Sweeney dog, I mean, the injury is obviously piled up, but I think I'd have Sweeney as my DH.
Yeah, you could put that in there, you know, and make that case if you wanted to. I mean, Kendrys Morales was a pretty big, important bat as well, very limited time. Mm-hmm. Hal was like that first DH, and everybody compared DHs to Hal moving forward in baseball for a number of years, and like that guy could hit too, so I'd put him up. Then they got Quiz as their closer.
I'd have Wade.
Yeah, a lot of people would, yeah.
And I know Quiz was the fan favorite, still is. A lot of people always remember the smile, the throw, the quirkiness, how he was such a guy that I think, damn, dude, I feel like this team could use a Quisenberry. I know that Vinny's kind of that guy, getting Jack to say the sweat in the bathtub and trying to have fun in the locker room.
Having fun, yeah.
But, like, Quiz was that guy that would just, you know, turn around, he's got two pieces of bubble gum blown up and bubbles put on his eyeball with cups on his ears, just acting a fool, which just kind of let people be loose around him. So I get the Quiz thing, but, man, I'd have Wade there just because of what Wade, or even Holland, a big-time closer there as well, relief bullpen guy as well, but... Yeah, I just think recency bias puts me with Sweeney at a DH. And I think the only place I disagree is probably one position outfield, relief pitching, DH, and starting pitching.
Yeah.
And I think we were pretty similar on our replacements there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the relief pitcher, there's been a couple of good ones. Quiz was, you know, I mean, he was unbelievable back in the day and could, you know, get anybody out with that sidearm, that submarine, you know, movement that he had there that was kind of different, you know, back. You don't see a lot of the submarine pitchers anymore. Saves, I mean, you know, just dominated from the time he set foot on the field. And then the outfield. I mean, there's been a lot of good outfielders that have come along here in Kansas City when it comes to the honorable mention side of things.
And then a lot of people were frustrated over the weekend seeing this list, the Kansas City people saying, absolutely shocked there's no Bo Jackson. That was the biggest name. And, of course, the text line is now flooded, too. It's like, where's Bo? Where's
but what, Bo? What where's did Bo do that deserves to be on this list? Bo was more of a figment of the imagination than he was a great player.
Because the way that you could do it is you could have you could say that Bo was about as impactful in here as long as Wade Davis.
Wade Davis also won a World Series.
I'm not denying that. No, I'm not denying that. But, yeah, I think that's just – because, like, for me, my dad always told me about the other side of Bo. Like, he's like, oh, he did all these wonderful things. He's like, but he, like Mike Greenberg in the documentary, you don't know Bo.
Yeah.
Or Bo knows, you know, whatever. Bo knows. My dad was like, see, been telling you that for years. Because he's like, as much as he did and all the stories that happened at, like, a comet speed. Like, it happened in 3 years and then it was gone.
Gone. Which is the case for most athletes.
Was he more surprising to watch in football or baseball?
Probably baseball, because baseball's harder. I mean, you really have to.
He runs over the boss, and then he has like all the runs, and then all that. Because he's like, I'd almost say that it'd be football because he's most known for the video game. Like Tecmo Bowl is like, you could be Bo Jackson. The hell, I couldn't try to stop it.
Try to stop me, yeah. Right. No, I think it's harder to be a successful baseball player because you got to deal with a pitcher. You know, in football, you as a running back, especially. You can kind of take things into your own hand, right? Yes, you're relying on your offensive line, but they give you a little bit of daylight. Then it's on you, right? It's on you to, if you want to run somebody over, however you want to deal with the situation, it's on you. I think it's easier to be great in football than it is to be great in baseball.
Maybe we can get to this a little bit later. Good morning, football. Tweeted out a poll question. Except excluding Patrick Mahomes.
We're back to that now, huh?
Which AFC West quarterback would you trust with the game on the line? Do you want to guess who the winner is in the clubhouse?
I mean, I would guess Bo Nix.
The names on the list, obviously, are Justin Herbert, Geno Smith, and Bo Nix. Yeah,
the answer should be none, but I would go with Bo Nix because, I mean, we've saw Justin Herbert in pressure situations. He crumbles like a ash.
Justin Herbert has 46.2% of the votes, 2,159 votes in. I voted for Geno Smith. He's got 13.8%. Bo Nix, 40%.
That's closer than I thought it would be.
Yeah,
Bo Nix, I thought everybody would be loading up on clown show out in San Diego.
It's
there.
Today.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, well, he wears khakis and his coach is smart, so he's going to win games.
Locked, caught, and ready to rock.
They started training. How's it going for them? Have we had any reports yet from the Chargers side of things?
if you want to roll your eyes, Bo really wasn't great at football or baseball at the pro level. His football stats are mediocre. Coming up on the other side, we talk about what John Sherman and J.J. Piccolo had to say over the weekend. In fact, yesterday, here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Right here, baby. Yesterday, sent some audio from the man, the myth, the legend, Josh Vernier, from what the GM and the owner had to say about this team and the latest on the stadium deadline developments as well. First, we'll go to JJ when it comes to the deadline of the trading block.
So you can tell JJ's ready to go. Like, he's ready to make moves. He's ready to make this team better.
Buckle up, EP. You got a busy week.
Yeah, exactly. But
get that Abelardo's.
Yeah. There, nobody else is, right? And and that's kind of the message that we're getting from all of this is that we've got a situation where you got a general manager who is champing at the bit, which I heard on the Mets broadcast this weekend.
He said they did.
He said it like
that's
champing.
The proper way to see it.
That's right. It's not chomping at the bit. It's champing at the bit.
KMBC.
And so you've got the Royals out here.
Check out how I park. It's contagious. Odyssey.
Get new carpets, please. So he's champing at the bit, right? Yeah. To get out there and make moves, but nobody else is. Like, you got to have somebody that's willing to do it with you. And if they're not, then there's nothing you can do about that. And so he said it's been slow, which is what we've been saying. This is the problem. I guess you could say with the extra wild card team, we seem to like it as fans, right? Oh, this is cool. More teams in the playoffs. But now the reality is more teams in the playoffs mean more teams think they're good, which means more teams hang on to players, which means nobody's getting traded, which means teams aren't getting better. So it is a false sense of...
It's the NFL graphic of in the hunt.
Yeah. Raiders. Yes, that's exactly what it is. The NFL runs that in the hunt graphic beginning
November.
In like week two.
Yeah.
It's like it's always up there in the hunt, in the hunt, in the hunt. And so if you're going to have extra teams added into the playoffs, the smart move would have been then to push the trade deadline back 2 weeks and make it in the middle of August so teams can really get an understanding if they're in it or they're not, if they're really in it or if it's just fake kind of being in it right now. And he says you got to believe in your team and fight to stay in it. And if they believe in their team where they are right now, they've, again, World Series pitching, minor league lineup. We've been saying that all season long. They're going to have to find a way to generate offense and to get a bat. I don't know if that bat's going to be available. We'll know in the next 2 weeks, you know, kind of where the Royals are going. But the good news is, as a Royals fan, you can rest easy and understand this is an aggressive general manager that wants to go out there and make moves. We saw what he did last year, right? Minor move. Nobody knew a lot of those guys that were mentioned last year and traded for. We didn't know who Lucas Erceg was at this time last year. And now he's turned into be a very reliable part. And you probably wouldn't want a postseason series without some of those guys from last year. So minor move. It may not be the big move, but there's got to be some minor moves made on the offensive side of things.
Yeah, I think that when you look at this, the name that everybody pops out is Lugo because of the contract and everything like that. Would you be more surprised if Lugo is still here post-trade deadline or if Carter Jensen is?
I'd be more surprised if Carter Jensen was here, I think. Because I don't think there's a spot
for
him.
Or not Carter Jensen. I'm sorry. Blake Mitchell. And I mean by this, by like, as in a member of this team. Because you mentioned your minor leaguers have proven nothing. Mm-hmm. And if they're worth the sell, then you might as well send them out. Carter Jensen's tearing it up, but that's not the name I meant. I meant Blake Mitchell. And that's a name that is starting to get a little bit of traction. And when you think about this team and what I think they firmly believe is that pitching's number one.
Right.
What is Cole Reagan's story in the second half? Can Noah Cameron continue to shove, and can Chris Pubich continue to shove? Plus, you still have Michael Wacha, who's been decent, and Lorenzen's a piece. Like, Lorenzen's a guy that I would consider an attachment to the trade, right? He's, hey, you got Blake Mitchell and you got Michael Lorenzen. That's the trade that the Royals get for player to be named. Now, the problem that you have with a lot of people in this town is at 4.5 in the wild card, and the teams you have to jump, which those teams that you have to jump are Minnesota, Los Angeles, Texas, and Tampa. You have a You've swept Texas, so you know you can beat them. Tampa Bay, I don't know if you play. I don't think you play Texas again this year. Maybe if you do, it's at home.
Have we played them here?
I know we played them there.
They
but
were
I don't
there, but I don't think they've come here yet. So
you,
yeah.
you swept them there, but Minnesota, you will continue to play. So there's two teams that are on the schedule. The Angels, I don't. They played them early this year. I don't remember. Either way, you're 4.5 games behind the wild card spot. If you're going to sell, which it sounds like they're going to buy, from what JJ just said in that audio, that they are going to buy when it comes to this year and this moment. Because, again, 3 games under .500, 4.5 games out of the wild card, whether you believe it or not, I don't think they're going to sell. And I think that you heard in that audio that he's going to make a decision, and it's going to basically start moving after Tuesday night.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. Yeah, tomorrow at the earliest, you know, maybe this time tomorrow we start to see some rumors, you know, about baseball. All right, the draft is done. Let's focus on the big league clubs, and we start to get some hot rumors, you know, that are floating around with the All-Star game and everybody milling around, bloviating to each other and talking and all that kind of nonsense that goes on, as you know, at these events. Maybe we get some stuff that, you know, kind of gets stirred up, you know, a little bit with this team. I don't think trading Seth Lugo, though, is an admission of defeat and an admission that you're out of it. I think it's a smart baseball decision for your overall organization, because you're not going to bring him back next year, both based on age and money, and he's going to hit the open market. And quite honestly, you don't need to pay Seth Lugo to be on your team with the emergence of Noah Cameron right now. That's the other thing. You don't have to spend $18 million on, you know, Seth Lugo to go out there and pitch for you next season, because you've got this kid that's pitching on the league minimum right now. The Blake Mitchell thing is interesting, because yesterday JJ was also talking about positions of strength on this team. He mentioned the catcher position in the minor leagues, and that kind of, I don't want to say raised a red flag, but it got my antenna up a little bit, saying, okay, there may be an opportunity where a guy like Carter Jensen or Blake Mitchell has to be part of a package in order to make your team better at the big league level. And that's great. That's why you have minor leagues, either A, to help you here, your club here, or B, to use those guys to trade to get veterans to help your big league ball club. And so if you can trade a guy like Blake Mitchell and include, I like the and Michael Lorenzen type thing, if that ends up being a trade that gets you a veteran bat back in return, then that's a trade that you have to make. That you can't worry about Blake Mitchell being part of the future or anything like that. You've got to worry about winning now at the big league level, because that's all that matters.
And you have to look at teams that are willing to sell. And right now, I think the biggest team names that I've seen that are going to be sellers, according to like Heyman and Passan and guys like that, that have talked about teams that could be possible sellers, are Cleveland and Baltimore.
Yep.
Right. Obviously, the Athletics and the White Sox below them as well. I don't know if the Athletics would sell anybody. They've got a good core. They don't have a home yet, so I think they want to take something to Vegas.
They have
to eventually go there, and you have Kurtz and you have Wilson.
Marlins man texted me the other day. He bought season tickets in Vegas for the A's. Yeah,
that's kind of tight,
isn't it?
See if we can get a Royals game out there next year.
Oh, we will. Well, not next year.
Well, in two or 3 years, 27, 28.
Which is built first, the A's stadium or the Royals stadium?
It's funny you say that, because John Sherman talked about that. But it's kind of hard when you look at sellers in the American League, because you have Cleveland, who's in your division. But I think Cleveland is at the point where it's like, this regime is over. We got, you know, Travis Bazana, who we drafted number one overall of our team a couple years ago. We're going to build a franchise around him. You know, Ramirez, maybe he's on his whatever. And
dude, if you could get Jose Ramirez to Kansas City, I would give up anything just about to have him here.
And then your National League sellers are, well, I've seen, obviously, always the Marlins. But the Braves, the Pirates, and the Nationals all could be potential sellers, especially with the Nationals gutting out their front office and their manager as well. So
now's the time to take advantage of that. Like, you walk into a, you know, a store that changed management, and they're having a going out of business sale, and something that, you know, isn't supposed to be marked down is marked down. Maybe you can get James Wood on this team. Yeah. Maybe go out there and steal a player, you know, from the Washington Nationals in that aspect. So there are things out there. You know, I know with the Cleveland thing, this is just me speaking, but I'm a petty SOB. I would never trade with inside my own division. I mean, I know we're going to be bad, but I ain't going to try to make you better by trading, you know, some good players there. So Baltimore is the one you got to feast on right now, I think. I think that's the roster you need to be picking over.
Because that Mullins kid, he's only hitting 218 again. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know where his love is, but somebody says, you weren't wrong. Use Jensen in a trade. Too crowded at catcher.
It is. It's Jensen, Blake Mitchell. I mean, JJ did say that. He goes, we got a deal from a position of strength, and that is pitching right now, which is great to hear, and catching. Those are the two biggest areas of strength on this team. So in order to get somebody good back in return, you've got to give up something of value, right? You're not going to be able to trade whoever, you know, in the minor leagues, MJ Melendez, and expect to get somebody back in return that's going to produce at the big league level. It doesn't work that way. You've got to give the opposition something of value so you get a better product back in return. And so if you got to get rid of Blake Mitchell or Carter Jensen, so what? They're minor leaguers. You know, that you look at the numbers out there on the board. I mean, Cags only hitting 151 at the big league level. It's a big difference.
And that was last week.
That was last week, right? It's a big difference from the minor, from AAA to the big league level. Mm-hmm. Just because somebody's doing good in AAA doesn't mean they're going to do good up here. And so if you got the opportunity to flip a prospect and get veteran players back in return, mm-hmm. when the Royals have done that, it's worked out very well for them.
This comes from Jayhawk for Life. Our buddy on Twitter says, mm-hmm. just for a little bit of perspective, the Royals were at 500 on July 23rd, 2014. So mm-hmm. you know how that whole thing went. And then of course you have people on the text line saying, if they don't trade and sell, JJ set this team back 5 years.
No, you don't set anybody team back 5 years. They were 30 games under 500 2 years ago, and they made the playoffs the following year. It's not like that in baseball anymore.
Not only did they make the playoffs, they went to the ALDS and lost to the Yankees. They won a series
in the postseason last year, right? You're exactly right. Like, so like we can't continue to look at baseball like we did back in the day where we got to keep all these minor leaguers. That's false optimism down there. That's job justifiers. That's what the minor leagues is. The GMs and whatnot at these clubs can sell their bosses. Oh, you got all these kids coming up in the minor leagues. Mm-hmm. Okay, that'll be a couple of years. It buys me some time. JJ's like, let's trade all these guys and win at the big league level. That's the attitude that you need to have, because nobody cares what your minor league record is. Nobody cares what your minor league team does. Did you win at the big league level or not? And if you didn't win at the big league level and you're hoarding prospects for no apparent reason, you're not doing it right. I love the mindset of JJ. Believe in your team, fight, and we're going to fight and stay in this thing. That's all you can want from your general manager.
This came from the newest member of the Wittesons. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw the picture. John Sherman had the bumper sticker in the eye black. He was all in, but this is what he had to say on the latest stadium developments.
Well, I think we're getting close. We've heard that for a year.
And Jamal's got a leg.
Yeah, that's right.
And the Chiefs starters are going to play the first quarter.
Yes.
Just get it over with, man. Like, there was nothing there in that minute 18 seconds that really said.
Just at the end, we're getting close. Okay. Yeah.
That's what they say, we'd have it done by midsummer last year.
Yeah.
And now we're getting close.
Well, I mean, we're a month into summer now, right? Summer's 90 days. So each season,
we're
90 10
days past the 4th of July.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it was going to be early summer, spring, you know, fall, winter.
Game in 16 days.
We do, don't we? Yeah. Yeah, you think we'll have an announcement one way or the other? I don't know anymore. I know August 9th seems to be a date a lot of people are talking about, but who knows?
August 9th is a pretty big day last year. That's, I think, when this show went full steam ahead.
Is it really?
I think it was August 9th, because I told Speck my birthday was August 7th. If he wants to give me an early present, he just looked at me and was like, that concludes our meeting.
Yeah,
like,
thank you
very much. Yeah. Appreciate that. Speaking of days away, Mac, we're 53 days away. I believe I'm reading that right from the Chiefs' first or the NFL's first
Lou
real...
Lou Busch. Yeah. It's amazing how you remember randos and numbers that they wore, right? Number 53, Lou Busch. L-E-W space B-U-S-H. Lou Busch.
Is he like Bill Brasky?
He is. Are you looking up Lou Busch? Please tell me you're looking up Lou
Busch.
No, I wasn't.
I was looking up Anthony Hitchens, because I think he's number 53.
Was he 53? I thought he was more 55, 50.
He was 53.
I think he was 53, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, Max Chiefs question. 53 days. Who other than Mahomes? This is more of a football question.
Well, Lou Busch is dead now. That can't be the same guy.
Bob. more of an NFL question. Who other than Mahomes would you bet on for MVP? To find some good value, I know all of us are in on Patrick Mahomes right now on FanDuel. He's plus 600. He's tied with Josh and Joe Burrow in second place at plus 600 for MVP. Lamar Jackson leading the way at plus 500. But with MVP, it's one of those things where you can find some pretty good juicy value bets down below. Is there a guy that you guys have right now, or text line 913-586-7965, that you think could take the league by storm this year?
Blue Bush.
Mahomes, what do you bet on to find good value?
Look, we give Mahomes all this, you know, fire and stuff that he hears. Why not Jalen Hurts, man? Like, everyone thinks it's, you know, Saquon. I mean, you look at Juice, it's plus 2,000, right? To win plus MVP 2,000 odds.
Yeah.
He's in a quarterback list that we'll bring up tomorrow. He's like the ninth best quarterback according to ESPN scouts, officials, agents, and all that sort of stuff. Why not, man? Like, does Mahomes have to be the only one that goes scorched earth when he hears hatred? Like, Jalen Hurts, two Super Bowls, best player on the field in both Super Bowls, has a ring, a Super Bowl MVP, ninth. Baker Mayfield behind him, Jared Goff above him, which is fine. Jared Goff's been, you know, one of those guys. But why not have a little bit of fire? You know, what else? Welcome to the world of Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts. What else do I have to prove? I've shown everybody that I can play in the big game. I've won the big game. I've won the MVP of the big game. And it wasn't the coattails of, I mean, you define irony of a series for the Eagles, right? Oh, they got there riding the coattails of Saquon Barkley. Well, in the biggest game against in the year, against the best team in the other division, they used Saquon Barkley at a minimum rate. They threw the ball. They used Jalen Hurts, and he lived up to it, and he played very, very well. And why not? Plus 2,000 to go win the MVP. What else do you have to prove to the world? That I can be the best player during the regular season as well.
What's he going to have to do, though, to get the MVP award? Because I feel like Barkley would have to get hurt. What's that?
Barkley would have to get hurt.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying like every other quarterback.
They won't pass enough.
Yeah. That's,
and that would skyrocket him if they continue to do what they're doing and he gets up.
Yes. Because I do like the plus 2,000. I think that's a very, very fun number for Jalen Hurts because nobody gives this guy a lot of respect. That's why I ask, what has to happen for him to get the MVP? Because we go into this season and he's already fighting against the Associated Press or whoever votes for the MVP, right? They already don't think he's the MVP of this league. Does he have to go 50 and 5,000 to even be in the conversation to get the MVP award at this point in time?
No, if he threw for like 4,300 and like 40 touchdowns, it's just, but the problem is he doesn't throw. Like the problem is he doesn't throw for more than like what, 3,300 yards? Doesn't throw for more than 25 touchdowns? But all the other numbers that are there that aren't what quarterback numbers should be are rushing yards per attempt, touchdowns on the ground. Like, he's got a ton of rushing touchdowns in his career because he does a touch push.
Right.
Moves the chains, does what he's supposed to do, doesn't screw up the game.
Right.
But then again, if he goes out there and it's like, hey, it's like the Alex Smith thing. Can you throw the ball downfield? Can you stretch the field? You're about to be a free agent. And then Alex Smith's free agent year, or where the year when Mahomes is drafted, all of a sudden he knows how to throw the ball to Tyreek Hill.
Right.
Hey, Saquon Barkley, Matt makes a great point. Saquon Barkley's out. We have to have you. Okay.
But
here I am.
But here's the thing. He's already done that without Saquon Barkley. He led a team to the Super Bowl 2 years ago without Saquon Barkley, right? And so he's been the quarterback of a team without Saquon Barkley that was really one bad play away from winning the Super Bowl and him being the MVP of that game. And we act like Jalen Hurts just showed up on Tuesday and is starting a quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. And so, again, I've got the Jalen Hurts apology gene inside me, and I'm ready to let that thing, you know, fly this year because I think he's a much better quarterback than people want to give him credit for. I think Jalen Hurts was one of those guys that we see all the time in sports. People have preconceived notions of who somebody is, and based on performance, they don't want to change it because they've already said what they've already said. I think Jalen Hurts has proven to a lot of people, and those people won't recognize it, that he's a damn good quarterback in this league. My question is, when is the next time we're going to see an MVP not named Josh, Lamar, Patrick, or Joe?
Well, Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh this year.
Yeah, +7,500.
+7,500?
Yep.
If Pittsburgh wins that division, is Aaron Rodgers the MVP?
100%. They win 12 games, and people love voting Aaron Rodgers MVP. He's already won, what, four or five of these awards? They would not be shy in voting him again, and he'd be the catalyst. So, yeah, there's a storyline there. There is.
I mean, seriously, they might go and win that division with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, and if they do, he's the MVP.
Yeah, he'd have to be incredible. Yeah, he'd have to be incredible. I think they're probably a nine or 10-win team as usual. But either way, that there is that story. I think Justin Herbert at plus 2,000, you got to look at the storyline. Like, he's got Ladd McConkey. Besides that, like, Najee Harris.
But are they going to run the ball, too? That's the same handcuff situation with Hurts. Exactly. They have now two running backs. Well, actually, Najee Harris, like, blew his face up with fireworks.
What's going on with that?
Idiot. Dude.
I chose him for on the come. And then the next
and
week,
then boom! Yeah. It blew up in your face, literally.
What about Russell Wilson?
gosh.
What's his number? Is he even on the board?
He's below Anthony Richardson, if that makes you feel
no
better.
No way! Anthony Richardson! He ain't gonna start!
Richardson's at plus 10,000, Russell Wilson plus 20,000. He's tied with Micah Parsons.
What's Daniel Jones?
Below all these guys. Let me see. Now Jonathan Taylor's above Daniel Jones. I don't know, man. I can't find all Daniel Jones.
He's not on the list because he doesn't need to be.
What if the Colts win the division? Is Daniel Jones your MVP?
You've got Rashee Rice, Chris Jones, and Xavier Worthy, but you don't got Daniel Jones.
Wow.
To give reference to Jalen Hurts, as a quarterback, he's never been under 500. He's gone 8-7, 14-1, 11-6, 12-3. His best year passing-wise probably comes from 2022 when he went to the Super Bowl. He had 3,700 yards, 22 touchdowns, 6 interceptions.
Damn! 6 interceptions?
In 2023, they went 11-6. He threw for 38-58, 23 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. Yeah. That was a turnover-heavy year.
But how many of those came after Sirianni yelled at a Chiefs fan and the thing went downhill from there, right? Because after that game, that thing dissipated fast for Philadelphia.
Yeah, it was his worst team, and he had his worst season. Yeah, he wasn't propped up by the best roster
in the
NFL.
But weren't they 10-1 at that point in time?
And then they lost 7 games in a row, because they imploded.
They did, but I think that had a lot to do with leadership at that point in time. That was a big misstep by Sirianni. He's lucky he didn't get fired after that. He's really lucky he didn't get fired.
Big Dom came in. Hey, Sirianni, chill.
Yell at the fans, collapse, fizzle out in a playoff game, come back the next year and win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Hurts is great where he's at in being complimented by the offense and defense and everything's got surrounded. If that infrastructure left and they needed to count on him, I do not think that would go well.
How many quarterbacks could you truly count on in the NFL? Right, that's my point.
But that's what we're talking about. We're talking about being top five. That's what that is to me.
You've got Mahomes.
Yep.
You've got Allen.
Yep. Burrow, Lamar.
Yes, to an extent, but not like Allen and Mahomes, dude.
No, not at all.
5 years ago, I put Rodgers in that category.
For sure.
I don't know where he is now. But if Stafford?
Yeah, I would put him in there.
Yeah.
Not enough from Daniels yet. Need another year.
As we bring this full circle on Max Chiefs question from 53 days out, Ken Avery, Chris Griffin, Todd Howard, Fred Jones, Marcus Patton, and defensive ends like Rick Hamilton and Whitney Paul all wore the number 53.
Yeah, Lou Bush was 51. And he is dead. He died in 2011.
Oh, dang. Coming up, can this guy be the Cooper Flag of the NFL next year? We talk about that next on Fesco and Dusty, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Well, my friends from Aspen Lawn, and huge difference for us at our house this past weekend because we were able to sit outside and not have to deal with mosquitoes or ticks or fleas. And that's because of that mosquito dome that is now over our house. And I can't tell you how much we absolutely love it because it allows us to do something we love the most, and that's sit outside and enjoy our outdoor space. Got the TV outside, want to watch the game out there. And more importantly, the dog wants to run around and play in the yard. And we can do that without having to worry about those ticks or those fleas. Fleas getting all over our dog. And for us, the mosquitoes are gone, so we can sit outside and not have to worry about getting bit. And our lawn is looking great because of the folks over at Aspen Lawn and Pest Control. They're college-educated professionals. They've been coming out since the beginning of spring, getting rid of all the weeds, all the dandelions, and keeping that yard looking the way that it needs to look so I can be proud every time. And they've done a great job with our lawn. They've done a great job telling us along the way of everything that they're going to do. And now they want to offer that full-service lawn care, irrigation, and pest control to you. So when you call Aspen Lawn and Pest Control, mention this ad, and they're going to give you up to half off your first application. Visit them today at AspenLawn.com. That's AspenLawn.com.
Somebody says, money must be driving you all crazy. You're talking about Aaron Rodgers, MVP. There's just the possibility, taking long shot bets.
Yeah.
But Jaden Daniels was plus 750 in the sophomore season.
Is that right? Yeah, 750. I think so.
Cam Ward's your favorite to win rookie of the year? Is it Travis Hunter? On the spot. I'm sorry. I apologize. That's bad radio.
No, you're good. Give me a second. Rookie of the year. Well, there's offensive and defensive. So, let me look at the offensive.
Cam Ward's got to be the long shot.
Yeah, defensive is obviously Abdul Carter. I can't find the offensive rookie of the year.
Weird.
I mean,
there we go. Oh, no. Well, duh. Genty.
Ah,
oh, yeah. Ashton Genty. Okay.
Yep. Genty at plus 270. Ward right behind him at plus 300, and then a jump to Hunter at plus 900.
The interesting thing about Ward is nobody knows who that is or where he plays, and he was the number one pick. Like that, I've never, guys, have seen anything like this. Like other than like Eric Fisher being drafted number one, and that's a left tackle, right? This guy's a quarterback, was drafted number one overall, and I guarantee you the average NFL fan would be like, I know that name. Is that Charlie Ward who played for the Knicks? You know, like they would think that before they think about Cam Ward playing for the Tennessee Titans. I don't even know if he's going to start down there. There's been, I mean, a lot of smoke obviously filled with mayonnaise, but like Will Levis is playing good, they said, you know, during the spring. So if that's the case, by all means, let's see what he can do, right? They're clueless mooks.
No doubt. Hello, America. I thought that was coming next. No. So you talk about Cam Ward where
Nobody does.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Like, I would love to be Cam Ward. He's got no pressure, perfect. Man.
Yep.
No, I'm saying like that's what I'm like he's the first quarterback taken.
Unbelievable.
I think Arch Manning will probably be the first pick. Next year?
Oh, I think he's already been drafted. Oh. Did you see he gave $1.5 million to the Texas efforts too?
Pretty cool.
I mean, that's awesome.
Pretty cool. Paul Feinbaum guarantees Texas will beat Ohio State in week one. Quote, I am as married to Arch Manning as an old geezer like me can be to a young, great college quarterback.
Okay.
Is he going to be Kuiper with Shador? But I like everything about him, and I think you said something. The Manning name matters. But it isn't going to matter that field in a couple of weeks at Ohio State. The experience of being an understudy to Ewers and understanding Sark's system is what's going to get him over the top and probably, well, not probably, definitely beat Ohio State in the opener.
Okay.
Again, this is Paul Feinbaum saying this, not Arch Manning. But that is week one.
That's Damn. Also Paul Feinbaum, who, you know, has made his living off of loving up the SEC as well. Let me ask you this, for all of the Texas fans sitting in the back.
Taysom does,
what was the last time Texas won something big?
That game that was given to them against Arizona State.
Which game was that?
Or did they beat? Did they end up beating Arizona State last year when they had they didn't challenge her. They challenged it, and they said it was a hit.
Yeah, I think they
they ended up beating him.
Yeah.
Scatabu was a running back, and Texas got away with it because they called, like, targeting or something like that. And
it was a terrible call.
That's the worst call I've ever seen in my life. 3 weeks later, that was actually the worst call.
It happens daily.
They won OT. Yeah, that was their biggest win.
But, I mean, Texas
in a college football playoff.
No, normally step up and win big moments. They have been one of the, I don't want to use the term laughingstock, but for where they are with money, they should be a lot more prolific than they are in both men's basketball and in football, and they haven't been up there. So I think that's a little Feinbaum bias right there. Now, obviously, Ohio State's got a new quarterback this year as well, and everything changes over in college sports, but I'm not ready to say Texas is ready to play with the likes of Ohio State quite yet. They've got to figure things out. They've got to show consistency that they can play and be on top before I'm ready to pick the Texas Longhorns to beat Ohio State in week one. I get it. I mean, Feinbaum's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant guy at throwing his opinion out there and getting people riled up about that one, but everybody's going to be looking forward to that game. There's no question about it.
I mean, I can't wait to see if Sark brings back the pants.
Oh, God,
you know
I hope
he'll
so.
Bring back the pants.
Oh, they got to,
Come
man.
On.
Those cream-colored, whatever, gray, and then you got the rat on the other sideline, the red cheeks and the beady eyes. Looks like
Ryan
he's been,
Day.
Yeah, he looks like he's been bit by a raccoon, but like a baby raccoon. It gave him a little bit of the rabies. I don't know, man.
He's got a beautiful beard, man.
Big, nice beard.
Yeah.
Him without the beard would be, oof.
Yeah, but it, I mean, he's got the Just for Men in there perfectly. It's the perfect color. Like, it's a great-looking beard. August 30th, 11 a.m. is when they're going to play.
Ooh, 11 a.m. Let's go. Love it.
August 30th at 11 a.m. is when they're playing that game.
That's we're 6 weeks away. We're six Saturdays away from this last Saturday.
That's nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm pumped. Let's go, man.
And the video I always see for, like, letting us know how close we are to the football is the Virginia Tech-North Carolina game that they do, like, the Sandman in Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
And start going. I'm like, I would love to be there.
Be
for, like, the first 10 minutes. I'd be like, all right, get me out of here.
Yeah.
Like,
Freaking out now.
Walls are closing in. That or I go to a Rocky Top game at night, just seeing that on TV.
Hell
like, seeing how that is and just be like, that. That would be just awesome.
Vibrating.
The Wisconsin jump around to start the fourth quarter is really cool. I got to be part of that one time. That was awesome.
I just want to go to an SEC game at night.
That would be great. LSU at night, I think, would be this. Or Clemson at night.
Georgia. Go to the Swamp, and it's LSU, Florida.
Have you ever been to LSU
for a game?
I've not been to LSU.
Clemson for a game?
Clemson, no, they're not SEC. Right, but
I'm just
been
thinking of like the cool places that people say you got to go to.
Oh, you
want to
see Dabo run down the hill? I want to be there when he eats it.
Yes, when he falls on his
geek.
Yeah, but Clemson at night's supposed to be awesome. Virginia Tech, obviously, at night's supposed to be awesome. But LSU is where I really want to go. That's the one at night. You want to go see a game down there. Start tailgating on Thursday for that thing.
Somebody says it's not full-blown rabies. It's just a touch of the rabies.
Just a touch.
He's got a little bit there. Like if he was in The Walking Dead, he'd been sneezed on. He wasn't bit.
Yeah.
But there's something that's definitely ticking in that body where it could go either way. He sleeps alone with a locked door. That's for sure, man.
Julian Sain is your quarterback this year, Bob. 5-star transfer from Alabama. Shocker. There you go.
Shocker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
What are we going to do next year? Yeah. Well, there's a guy in Bama because Missouri's starting quarterback's the backup at Penn State.
I believe so. I believe that's correct.
And they had a hell of a train. They got a stud from a D3 school running back, too, at Mizzou. I'm telling you, college football playoff, week schedule.
Let's go. Team. And then I found out a little tidbit this weekend for next year's draft that the Saints offensive coordinator, and they'll likely have the number one pick, very likely could be the worst team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Their offensive coordinator is Garrett Nussmeier's father.
Who?
Garrett Nussmeier is the LSU quarterback. He's favored to be like the second or third over pick. If Saints get the number one, his dad. Yeah, exactly.
Nussmeier.
Now, Nussmeier or Manning, if you don't take Manning and you're in New Orleans, you get run out of town.
Yeah, because Arch could just live in the French Quarter where they have the house.
Yeah, he's already got his house down there. I've been there. But they've got, Nussmeier.
I mean,
that's a wet fart. It really is. Like, you're the New Orleans Saints, and you've got the number one pick in the draft, and there's Arch Manning looking right at you, and you take somebody named Nussmeier. They're clueless move. I mean, what are we doing here with that, right? Don't even bring that name up. Now, if you have the fourth pick and Arch is gone and you want to take Darius Nutmeyer or, whoever it is on the team, whatever the guy's name is, go for it. But if you're the New Orleans Saints and you have pick 1-1 and Manning this year was not a guy who blew out his knee or collapsed on the field and showed that he couldn't play, you have no choice but to take Arch Manning. I mean, I think we're starting to see kind of the stars align, and we may see some of the script at play here where Arch Manning goes on to save the New Orleans Saints franchise.
Contradictory when it comes to the coaching and the voting system. Plus, we give our predictions of, prop bets of the division here in the AFC West on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Michael Wacha, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.